What's good, Wager World? It's your boy, Five Star in Vegas, broadcasting live as always from beautiful Summerlin, Nevada. I'm in here with my co-host, my guy, the only Sacramento Kings fan that I know, the OG of the show. What's good, Spread Star? How are you this morning?
I'm great. I even got my Sacramento Kings polo on today, and I'm ready to talk some football. We're off to a winning start this season. We got to keep it going.
Yes, sir. So much football. I got so much work. I did ESPN 97.5 this morning. Shout out to John Granato. Shout out to Lance Zerline. That's why all of this started. This is where Five Star in Vegas began, was on ESPN 97.5 in Houston. I'll always be great for those guys. And I want to congratulate them. They were both inducted into the Texas Radio Hall of Fame, and both were well deserved. All right, man, let's get right into the pass, Brett.
All right, let's start it off. We were talking a little bit before we got started about how it was good that we got that bet in early. As Minnesota, plus 2.5 cashes. They lose by 2 points. The field goal at the end, what was it, wide right, I believe. Pretty good game overall. I enjoyed it. I got a chance to watch it. Minnesota's quarterback, that's going to be their issue this year. And I thought the North Carolina did pretty well on the line. I thought that Minnesota would do better controlling the line of scrimmage, but especially in the second half, you saw the North Carolina defensive line wreaking some havoc there on that Minnesota offensive line. So Minnesota's got a lot of work to do. Watching that, though, I don't see how high their ceiling can be this season with the quarterback play they have.
I just don't understand one thing about P.J. Fleck. He's a really good coach. You know, he's rowed a boat and all of those things. Teaches really good defense, effort, special teams. He always has these type of quarterbacks, man. I don't know why he won't attempt to recruit a playmaker at that position with the type of receivers and running backs and defensive players that he has on that team year in and year out. It's just a real injustice to his guys that are giving their all and playing really hard for him, and they really don't have a chance, man, because every time that they step on the field, they're short at the quarterback position. They have a guy who can't get it done, and once again, they suffered from that last night. North Carolina, I don't know why they're worried with Max Johnson. It seems to me that Max Johnson is not the right guy for that job. Hope he heals up and gets better. He got injured really bad last night. I didn't get any word out of exactly what the injury was, but prayers up for him. Hope he heals and everything like that. But it might be time for Max Johnson to give it up in football. He's just not a good player, man. And it showed last night. I actually feel if he stays in the game, that Minnesota probably gets that one done. We know they missed a field goal, but as you said, Bus, we're on the right side. We're getting the 2.5 points. Everyone figured this was going to be a defensive struggle, and it was. Really solid job by that defense for North Carolina to keep them in the game. Solid job by Minnesota putting them in the game, because if not for a couple turnovers in the first half, I don't think that this game would have been close. Moving forward, we see how does North Carolina play. They used to play up-tempo. Narciso stepped in to join us. What's up, Cino? How you doing today?
Wow, what's good, Wade and Ruh? My bad. I had to get Arisa together. You know, she
all good, all good. We know you're a monkey dad. You're a monkey dad. I was just telling Spread about last night. We cashed on North Carolina. We caught the hook with the 2.5 because we got it in early. Max Johnson gets hurt for North Carolina. Connor Harrell is in now as their quarterback. He was able to lead them to the winning field goal. I think that he should have been the quarterback anyway. I like his ability to scramble more. Omarion Hampton is going to be that offense for them. So I think that North Carolina will be best served the rest of the season to go, you know, to running the ball and playing to their defense, man. Minnesota looking forward. They're going to have a really hard time in the Big Ten being able to score with a kid like Max Bronsmer at quarterback. They got to get more electric and get more play ability at the quarterback position. But overall, we're really happy that we cashed.
So the game I did not watch, but it was an easy cash for us because the first time I checked the score, I think it was 24-3. Coastal Carolina gets the easy win over Jacksonville State. Did you have eyes on it, and what did you see, Five Star?
I watched every play, and I really enjoyed it. And I told you I'm a fan of Tim Beckman, and I took them first half plus 2, minus 105. The books have been really slick. They've been putting a lot of minus 115 first halves out there and getting people smacked. So I knew Jacksonville State, like I told you, I didn't know much about the quarterback Vasco for Coastal Carolina, but he was impressive. What I like about him most is that the guy takes chances. He pushes the ball down the field. They're going to put some points up this year. Made a couple mistakes, but at the end of the day, I can never be mad at a quarterback with an arm like he has, with the type of playmaking ability that he has. He's trying to put points up if he makes a mistake here and there. On the other side of the field, I told you I did not like Smothers. I had seen him last year for Jacksonville State, and he's struggling. He did not play well. Rich Rodriguez is going to have to find him a quarterback in order to run the offense that he wants to run. He's a guy that likes to run his quarterback. He likes to use his quarterback more in the run game than the pass game. And without that, he's going to struggle this year. Logan Smothers is not the guy. Jacksonville State, we'll see how they recover and if they can bounce back. But Coastal Carolina is looking good. I look to see them moving forward in the Sun Belt. As I told you earlier in the year, the Sun Belt is actually ranked as one of the highest mid-major conferences in the country. I think that it's the number one mid-major conference right now by the ratings and everything. So big things coming out the Sun Belt. Big things as usual for the Chanticleers. All right, let's get into the present. Fred, big weekend. Let's hurry up and break these games down for these people. I know they came to get these winners on this Friday.
First game that we want to talk about, five-star Clemson, catching 13 points, playing in the Georgia Dome against Georgia. Big game right off the bat for both these teams. Don't want to use the word playoff feel, but it's definitely going to have a lot of playoff implications to start the season. Who do you think starts their season right here when Clemson takes on Georgia in somewhat of a neutral?
My initial thoughts on this game immediately was Georgia. They got so many starters back on offense. They got 9 starters back on offense. Carson Beck is supposed to be the number one quarterback in the country this year. Kirby Smart, we know he's the new Nick Saban, you know, the best pupil that Saban has had and does a really great job with Georgia. Georgia hasn't lost a regular season game in 3 years, you know, like those, they're that team. Only loss has been in the SEC championship to Alabama. His, you know, mentor Nick Saban's gone now. So does Georgia run the SEC with no Alabama pushing back with them now? Then I thought about it. I was like, okay, Dabo Swinney. We know Dabo was the last guy who was into the NILs. He did not want any parts of that. And it shows with his roster. Out of 22 starters this year for Clemson, you got 0 transfers, no new additions, and no freshmen. So they're a really veteran team. They're Dabo's guys he has in there this year. So I think that Dabo is going to surprise some people. I think he's going to have those kids fired up and ready to play. Clemson has a pretty good track record against Georgia. They played a better Georgia team a couple years ago and were able to hang around 10-3. Because we know one thing about Clemson, they're going to always have defense. That's Dabo's side of the ball and the strengths, because he played wide receiver at Alabama, but he's a defensive guy since he's become a head coach, man. And I think that their linebackers are really good. I think that their safety is really good. Now, they do have 8 new starters on defense, but as we know, one thing that Clemson can do is recruit defensive linemen. I think they'll be able to put pressure on Beck. We don't know if Trevor Etienne, the big-time transfer that came over from Florida to Georgia, is going to play because DUI can caught in the offseason. So I think that he might be sitting out.
Yeah, he's not playing. He's suspended for the game.
Yeah, I think he's suspended for this game. Thanks, you know, I think he's suspended on this game. So with that said, if they can make Georgia get into a one-dimensional game, I think Clemson has a chance. We got Cade Klubnik. This is the 2nd year as the starting quarterback for Clemson. He was a big-time recruit. Now does he settle down? And Garrett Riley, who's Lincoln Riley's little brother, offense. He's the OC for Clemson. I think that they have some playmakers on the outside. I think Clemson has enough to keep this game close. So I'll be playing Clemson first half +7. I already have that one in. And I also like the +12, but my bigger bet would probably be the first half. But I suggest you guys split it. Take Clemson first half +7 to take Clemson for the game. I see +12.5, +13 different places. What's your opinion on this game, Cino?
I like everything you said, five-star. I'm definitely agreeing with the most dynamic player of Florida not playing Trevor Etienne that affect them. And they'll be using the new headset communication, right? The first time this year.
Yes.
This the first game they'll be using that. So adjustments, neither Kirby Smart nor Dabo Swinney now for coming out, you know. So I think they'll start the game off slow. If I had to choose, I'd take first half under. I like the points too with Clemson. You know, I like them to win that division. And we go from there.
What's the under on that, Spread?
First half, 24.5. That's what I have.
Okay, so Cino's going with first half under 24.5. I think that's a really solid play. Cino, I like that a lot. I think I'll trail you on that one.
All right, let's move on. Penn State's going to travel out to West Virginia. West Virginia catching points at home, over a touchdown, plus 8.5 is the line, 5-star. How do you see that game going down?
This is my money line upset. You guys know I love big dogs. I like West Virginia, man. I like Neil Brown. I think he's a really good head coach. He was a really good head coach at Troy. Now he's getting a chance to turn around West Virginia. You guys know it's really hard to go to Morgantown and win. Those guys were 4-1 last year at home, 4-1 against the spread at home last year. And actually, their little run started. They ended the season 5-1. The only loss was at Oklahoma. Bad loss, but they were at Oklahoma, what you expect. Everything else, all the other games, they took care of their business at the end of the year. And it all started from them getting blown out in Happy Valley. They lost at Penn State pretty bad. They got manhandled by the Nittany Lions. And I think that they're going to be fired up. I like the revenge factor here for West Virginia. You guys know James Franklin is a really good communicator, really good recruiter, good guy overall. Man, but he does not coach well in game. We cannot trust him calling games during the game, man. He makes bad moves. He plays scared. And another thing, schematically, they're really vanilla, man. I think Neil Brown is going to have some tricks up his sleeve. He's a really good offensive coordinator. He has Gary Green coming back. He's like a value version of a Baker Mayfield. You know, he even wears the six like Baker Mayfield. Smaller guy, can really chunk it around, but also has some scrambling ability. I think they're going to be wired up out there in Morgantown for this one. A lot of starters back for West Virginia. I like them at home. I think 8.5 is way too much to get them, and I also be putting some on the money line. So give me West Virginia plus 8.5 at home against Penn State. I also be playing the money line. What is the money line right now, Spread?
240-something on BetOnline, plus 245.
I'll also be playing West Virginia money line plus 240. That's a really low money line for it to be such a big spread.
Yeah, that surprises me, too. I usually like closer
every time we see that, it comes down to being a really close game. We just saw that last week when I told you guys on the 4-1 with New Mexico that didn't make sense with the type of spread it was with it being 2 touchdowns. So, yeah, we're going to roll with West Virginia and Neil Brown. What you think, Sino?
Ah, 5-star. We finally on opposite sides right here. I'm like you, man. I think Penn State, they're the third favorite to win in the Big Ten. They definitely have a shot. The odds are saying they'll make the new conference playoffs with a new playoff tournament. 5-star. And in this situation, I got my numbers up because this is one of my favorite games of the weekend. Penn State, they 9-0 against the spread weeks 1-3 since 2021. Right. They're 4-0 against the spread in this spot when the line is less than 10. And they're 13-2 against the spread since 2018 in weeks 1-3. So I've been riding Penn State for a while. Good luck to you and your guys on that side. So I'll be on the other side. I'm taking the
half. Okay, so Sino's laying the points on the road. I personally don't like Drew Aller, and I don't like James Franklin. I hear you on the numbers that you're giving for the first weeks, what they've done against the spread, but now we got to look at who was the competition those first weeks as well, you know. But definitely a great angle on your side, but I'm not trusting that quarterback over at Penn State, but they do have some good running backs. Whew, they got some killers at running back. Like, the running backs for Penn State are two of the best. One of the best duos got to be in the country, man. Those guys can really run the ball, Singleton and Allen. So West Virginia will have to slow down the run, and I think if they put it on the shoulders of Drew Aller, I think they have a really good chance. So me and my pupil are going on opposite sides. Let's see if I can hit him with the don't ever try to outshine the master.
That's how we start.
Yeah, let's see if I can hit you with the never outshine the master this week after this. You know, if you tell me. I got you, 5-star. I got you. So we'll see. You know, we love to be on opposite sides over here because it's always good to give you guys both sides of the plays. What you got next, Brett?
All right. Miami will take on the Florida Gators. Miami, 2.5-point favorites on the road. How do you see this one going, 5-star?
On this one, anything under 3 points, you guys know. I just take the insurance on it. Why would I, you know, give up 2.5 points when I can get minus 140? Like, you know, so that doesn't make sense. I'm only riding this one for sure with Miami. I'm riding with Miami. Their coach, I'm not too big on Cristobal. He's not that good of a coach. What he has done a really good job of this year is transfers. You guys know I've been talking about Cam Ward. Oh, man, before anyone. I know that. I got a similar to Jaden Daniels. I was telling people about Cam Ward when he wasn't the hot topic, and now he is. They're saying he's going to be a first-round draft pick and quarterback. I knew he was when he was an incarnate word in 2020. So Cam Ward gets his chance to shine in front of the nation. He was at Washington State. As you know, Washington State is not a Pac-2 because them and Oregon State are the only teams left from that conference. So he had to go somewhere where he could really have an opportunity to win a national championship, and Miami is a really good place for that. So he's taking on Graham Mertz. You guys know Graham Mertz was in that group with Bo Nix with me, one of those quarterbacks I didn't trust. We saw Bo Nix develop, and now he's had some really good coaching in Oregon and some great coaching from Sean Payton, and he's about to be a really good pro. Can Graham Mertz step his game up? He's still in Florida. We know Billy Napier is a really good coach, but he likes dual threat quarterbacks. I didn't see him in Louisiana Lafayette have too many pocket passers. So, like I said, we'll just see how things go with Graham Mertz, but I can't trust him right now. I think Miami's defensive line gets to him and makes him turn over the ball a couple times. Also, keep an eye on Damian Martinez. Damian Martinez is a big-time running back to transfer from Oregon State to Miami. He's a beast. This kid can really play. I think he's going to have a big game. I just don't think the Mertz could put up enough points to stay with Cam Ward on this one. So we'll take the insurance and go money line at minus 140. Give me Miami.
Cino, how are you approaching this one? Are we getting another head-to-head, or are you joining in?
I got to join in with five-star on that one. I feel like the defense could struggle, and the offensive line, they're going to have, you know, nightmares against those guys. So Miami will take off. I think the those guys win, man. We should be good there.
Okay, right. We're on the same side on that one. I'm not going to break down this one, but just you guys keep an eye on the over 60.5 on Texas versus Colorado State. I'm a big fan of both those coaches. Sarkisian loves to put up points. Texas is going to be trying to make a statement, and we already know how Jay Norvell gets down for Colorado State. They come to play every time. It doesn't matter who's the competition. They're going to come to play. They have two really good players, a quarterback in his third season there, Nicolosi. Carson Strong at Nevada really popped his third season and was able to move up and get drafted into the NFL. He hasn't panned out really well, but that shows you how good of a coach Jay Norvell is with quarterbacks and with his offensive system to get Carson Strong drafted. I think the Nicolosi makes that jump at quarterback this year, and they also have a really good wide receiver. Both of those guys, they tried to poach them from Colorado State, the big programs. Both stayed with Colorado State. So I think the Rams are going to surprise some people and put some points up against Texas. So I like the over 60.5 on that game.
All right, I'm going to put that one in right now. Five-star, just because we're flying along, I got two games that I'm going to ask you about. The listeners sure know these aren't official plays, but these are big games that people are talking about. Just want your opinion. Doesn't mean we need to run to the window to place these bets. The first one is Notre Dame. All right, yes. Always a big story franchise. Heading down to Texas, Texas A&M is laying 3 here. I was talking to a kid last night at work as a Notre Dame fan. It's a little worried about their offensive line, which is usually a strength of this team. What is your thoughts on this game, and do you think this line is right? I'll be honest, I was a little shocked to see Texas A&M favored by 3.
I like A&M in this game, actually, at home. I feel like their fans, most of all, I like their new coach, Mike Elko. Elko knows what he's doing. He's very familiar with the quarterback he's playing because he's playing against Roddy Leonard, who he recruited and who he coached at Duke, who's now the quarterback at Notre Dame. Marcus Freeman hasn't shown that Notre Dame can really develop quarterbacks since he's been there. We've seen some really, you know, average quarterback play from the transfers. Even Sam Hartman, he was lights out with Wake Forest. He didn't do as well to Notre Dame. And Riley Leonard isn't nearly the player that Sam Hartman was as far as a college player. And I don't know if Riley Leonard develops into a better pro, but he wasn't the college player that Sam Hartman was. I think that A&M actually gets it done in this game. I think they can cover. It's a lean for me. I haven't dug the numbers, but just right off the top of the most with what I know, I think Elko has those guys ready to play. So I'm going to be on A&M on that one.
All right, so me, a more casual college football fan, was surprised to see Notre Dame as the underdog. Five-star said that was correct. What do you think, Cino? Texas A&M, are they going to cover this one?
Hey, I'm on the other side. Notre Dame all the way. Especially what they did last year. I wrote those guys a lot, made a lot of money off of them. And I'm like five-star rating and looking to that game because, you know, it wasn't on our list. But
yeah, we're just talking about it. Yeah, we're just talking about it. Because it's a big game that's going to get high ratings. Right now,
I'm definitely on the other side of that. But I got to ride the
Okay, and we're just, you know, kind of throwing things out here. Final one, although I think you guys are going to be on the same side here. We talked about this one when the lines came out earlier, five-star this summer, and USC is taking money. It's down to plus +4. And you said before it's because LSU has traditionally struggled with their first game of the season here. Is this the year they get this off? Because you look at these teams, just look at the talent on each team. Doesn't seem like a four-point game on a neutral. Maybe they think that USC will have more of a home field edge with it being a three-hour drive for their guys. But I think the LSU is going to travel, and who wouldn't want to go to Vegas on Labor Day weekend? So what are your thoughts here as this line continues? And if we do like LSU, do we wait? I mean, how far is this line going to run? Your thoughts on LSU-USC, five-star?
I'm waiting. I might even wait live and bet this game because we got to see if Garrett Nussmeier can – run the offense, and as you said, Brian Kelly has been horrible, man, at the beginning of the season. His team's
I've lost two Labor Days in a row, betting him.
Yeah, man, and they didn't look good at all last year. Florida State beat the hell out of them. You know, it was a close game the prior year, but they looked terrible that first half. For some reason, Brian Kelly can't get across to those guys in the preseason how urgent it is to start early. They make their changes during the year, but you know, Kelly's been around a long time. He's a veteran coach and very sharp guy, so he probably doesn't know his team well enough until, you know, 3-4 weeks have passed. And that's kind of tough when you know facing these big schools at the beginning of the year like LSU does every year. Their prior coaches always had them ready. They used to always win when we used to go watch them in Houston, you know, first games against teams like Wisconsin and stuff. But now, with the new regime, not so much so. So that's why I can understand the line dropping like it is. I could tell you one thing. Lincoln Riley's a dangerous guy with points, you know, especially with the type of offense. Zachariah Branch from Vegas is a beast. So LSU better find him and keep an eye on him. Because the thing that worries me about this game, laying the points, I probably just go and watch it as a fan, man. It's going to be on a Sunday. No other game is going to be on. So me and Cino probably take the kids up there. Go
definitely get there. We're not missing out.
We'll be in there with our purple and gold on, but I'll be a fan. I probably will bet live after I see what's going on with the game. But, man, I can't trust LSU's defense. They have a new DC, we know, but I can't trust them late in the second half of games last year. They weren't stopping the nosebleed, you know, so – with the type of offense USC has, they could very easily backdoor these 4 points. So I'm going to just – it's a stay away from me, and I'll just be a fan.
So, you know, your thoughts on LSU-USC?
I can't be a fan. I am a fan, but I can't be one not in this game. You know, both teams, they got the same expectations kind of. Neither Brian Kelly nor Lincoln Riley, they can afford an early loss in a season like this. And like Five Star said, LSU defense, man, they were so bad last year. Like, they were horrible for Jaden Daniels to do all the stuff he did in the offense that they had. Game one, you have to come out and play some football in Las Vegas. Everybody's going to be watching this on a Sunday. We got to ride with LSU. I'm expecting a blowout. It's not going to be close. Both Heisman winners went to this LSU and USC the previous 2 years. These guys produce talent, and I'm thinking that you're going to show up. LSU going to do what they have to do. So 4 or 5, whatever it is, we land it.
All right.
Do it.
I think it might continue to run. You might get a 3.5 by game day because I don't see any buyback at all. I've been monitoring this game, and it's been all one-way movement. So whether or not people are buying back on LSU and the books simply aren't moving the line, that's something that we could look into. I don't know the splits, but it seems like it's just a one-way ticket, and the longer you wait, the better number you're going to get. All right. What do you got? What's the top play for the weekend, Five Star?
I'm going to show some love. I'm going to give guys the trifecta. We're going to get about 3 winners, man. We've been hot on here. We're going to continue to be setting things up for you guys to start coming to the wagerworld.com and being able to purchase our plays and our packages. I'm tight with my 8. I'm going to call them the Elite 8. Those guys are going to stand the supreme clientele. So if you guys coming in the DM, I saw like 3 or 4 guys come in recently and try to, you know, jump in the group. Guys, I'm not accepting anyone else right now at this moment. I'm just focused on getting up to wagerworld.com where you guys can just go online and purchase the packages. So if you hit me in the DM and I haven't returned your message, I'm sorry. But right now, I'm going to just keep it tight right now. Because as I told you, the only entity that can afford me is the books. So I want to just deal with focusing on the books and my eight guys who've been around. But I will give you guys three free college football plays. I want everyone to eat. That's what we, you know, make the waves and world for us, for everyone to be successful at sports betting. The first play of my three plays will be West Virginia. As I told you before, I love that play. I love the plus 8.5. I love the also the money line at plus 250. I think Gary Green is going to hurt Penn State with his legs and his arms. A lot of people forget Manny Diaz isn't there anymore. Manny Diaz is a head coach himself. He was big on that side of the ball. Penn State was the type of team that had basically two head coaches because the defense really answered to Manny Diaz. He's gone now. He took another job. So I don't know if Penn State, with all these new pieces and with this new coordinator on defense, is able to slow down a really hyped West Virginia team with a really good coach, really good quarterback. You know, that's what I really base my handicaps on. So we're going to definitely be on West Virginia plus 8.5. I'm also going to give you guys Virginia Tech minus 13.5. They played a lowly Vanderbilt Commodores. I don't think their defense could do anything with Kyron Drones. Virginia Tech has about 18 starters back this year. They had the most starters returning to college football. I think that they mowed Vanderbilt. I don't think Vanderbilt is able to stop them. So we're going to go with Virginia Tech minus 13.5 as a freebie. And then, you know, I love, you know, going north of the border. We got to go with Ottawa, my Red Blacks, at plus 2.5. They have too much offense. Even with Jeremiah Masoli, Drew Brown stepped up. They got weapons everywhere. Ex-NFL wideout Justin Hart is a star. All-star Dominique Grimes is great. And then they have an underrated third wide receiver, Jalen Acklin. Solid running back from Rockwell Armstead. I think he played at Temple. He's really good, too. BC Lions, their season fell apart when Vernon Adams got injured, their starting quarterback. They bring in Nathan Rourke, who, you know, I really like the Rourke boys, the quarterbacks from Canada. One of them, he just transferred to Indiana. I think he's going to do good there. Nathan just came back from the NFL. He couldn't stick, but he's been turning over the ball since he came back to the CFL. He hasn't found his groove yet. Last week, he accounted for 3 turnovers. I just think Ottawa's the better team. They're 5-0-1 in the last 6 games, and BC has lost 5 straight. So I'm going to take the better team with the points. Give me Ottawa plus 2.5 in that one. So that's 3 picks from 5-star. West Virginia plus 8.5. Virginia Tech minus 13.5. And Ottawa plus 2.5.
Zeno, what do you got for the people?
5-star, he broke it down so easy for me. Of course, I'm going to take down. We're going to do a 3-team parlay. Let's do this. All money lines. Real simple. Penn State money line, Virginia Tech money line. Should be 2 easy winners right there. Now we're going to add the Boise State Broncos to that. Those 3 money lines should add up to minus 115, and we put a unit on that. I mean, Boise State should blow these guys out. I expect them to cover the 13. Also, the Trash Eagles didn't cover not one spread last year, 13 or more. It's Georgia Southern. So that should be some easy money to start for us. A little square parlay. Let's go.
All right, 5-star, you made a compelling case, and I'm going to join you here with Clemson. Keeping it close against Georgia. This is a big name program. Like you talked about, Dabo Sweeney's made his name on defense, and I expect a good defensive effort. Remember, when you're taking the points in these games, defense is something that you're always looking at, and I believe the Clemson defense will do enough to keep this close. Give me the points plus 12.5, Clemson taking on Georgia.
That's great. We got Garrett Williams coming on in a little bit. I'm going to let him come on after the ball and parlay. I'm going to interview him real fast. He's the at Texas commentator. This guy covers the Texas for the Sport News. Really great follow on X. Houston Stressings is what his name says. He always has these different little things where he's asking if it's a blessing or a stressing with Houston. But this guy's been out on ESPN. As I said, he covers the Texas for Sport News. He's one of those guys who's really tapped in strong with what's going on in that Houston Texas organization. I look forward to speaking to him about the upcoming season. What does he think the ceiling is for the Texans this year? What about the new guys that they brought over and all that? So the interview is coming up next. All right, Waves and World, we have a special guest in here today, man. A really, really popular page on X, Houston Stressing, and it's owned by Garrett Williams, man. Welcome to the Waves and World, Garrett.
Hey, I appreciate you guys having me, man. I'm a big fan of your page as well. And yeah, you know, I enjoy putting content out there. And I'm just like everybody else, I'm just a huge fan of the Houston Texans. So,
man, how long have you been a fan of Houston?
I'm born and raised in Houston. Pretty much ever since I could talk, I've enjoyed all things Houston sports. You know, obviously the big three, Texans, Rockets, Astros. But a lot of what you see on my page is stuff that I've consumed my whole life, whether it be interviews or articles or whatever it may be. I've always done that. But last fall, I kind of created this page, and now I'm just taking that extra step of clipping and sharing what I see that I like. And that's pretty much how it's evolved. So, yeah, since day one, man.
Man, you're a really, really good content page, man. The Texans, they need to send you a check, man, because you do a really great job of marketing that team, man. So, native Houstonian like myself, I've been with them, rolling since the birth of the franchise. I just came around when the Texans got Deshaun Watson to rooting harder for him. I liked them, but I never liked David Carr. I don't like Derek Carr. So with me, my family's from Louisiana, but my dad's, rest in peace, been in Houston since the 70s, man. My mom was in Houston since the 70s. So I was back and forth from Louisiana to Houston and ended up moving to Houston full time in the late 90s. But pretty much, you know, Houston runs through my blood as well. But I grew up liking the Saints and I liked the Oilers. I was a huge fan of Warren Moon and later Steve McNair, rest in peace. And when the Oilers left, I was so ticked off about the Texans' original uniforms and stuff. I'm like, man, this just looks like the flags. I wasn't really big on how McNair was running it at first. So it took me a while to come around to them. Who's your favorite all-time Houston Texans player?
I mean, that's tough. I mean, obviously there's two main names for everybody, either Andre Johnson or J.J. Watt, but I guess recency bias, I got to go with Andre, you know, just getting inducted to the Hall of Fame. And he's just a unique personality for the NFL. You know, I feel like it's kind of rare, especially at his position, a superstar receiver who's super humble and not, you know, a big boisterous personality. So, but at the same time, he's still an alpha. And he's just a great person. And we all know, as good as he was, he could have been X amount better if he, you know, played with some of these quarterbacks that some of these other Hall of Fame wide receivers played with. And then obviously the Courtland Finnegan moment is something that's forever etched in our memory. So I got to go with Dre, man.
Dre is a good one. Shout out Dre. She had the same name, but we also used to club together a little bit. He knows me well. We used to hang out a little bit when, M Bar and all that stuff was going on in Houston, man, back in the game.
Did you see the clip that I've been posting from the nightcap that's been going viral the past couple of days?
Is that the one with him talking about the fight with Courtland Finnegan when he said
well, that too, but then there's another one where Ocho and him were talking, and Ocho was like, I know you're from, you know, Miami or Florida. And he's like, I always wondered, like, how come you didn't come back home? But I went out with you last night in Houston in the nightlife, and now I know why.
Right. He's the man in the nightlife. We used to have some really good times, and I'm sure he still hangs out because, as you know, it's a lot of good times and pretty women in Houston. So not a bad place to call home. So
he does a good job, though, of, like, you know, going out but being responsible in the same sense. I mean, you never hear about any dust-ups with him. I mean, that's pretty rare. Most people, when they're going out that often, it's usually never good, but I think that's pretty unique.
Well, Andre, what he does a really good job at with everything in life is he's one of those guys who's measured. He always, you know, stays within himself, and he's a thinker, man. He's a guy with a lot of common sense, and kudos to him for making it to the Hall of Fame. I'm sure JJ will be right behind him whenever he officially hangs it up. My favorite all-time Texan is Aaron Foster, not only because of his style of running, the type of guy he is. Me and him share the same birthday, so that's another thing. Nice. We're both August 24th guys, so I kind of really have a fondness for Aaron Foster, man. I really love the style of play. He didn't play long enough to be a Hall of Fame guy, but I'm sure if he would have, you know, been able to stay healthy, that he would have made it to the Hall of Fame. You got any fond memories of Aaron Foster?
Yeah, I'll just say, could you imagine him in this offense currently with Slowick? I mean, you know, it's right. The same zone scheme. That would be obviously, I have super high expectations for Mixon, but just picturing that for a minute, that would be dynamic, man. But Foster, specific memories. I'll say I was at the Chicago Bears game, I think Monday night. I want to say it was 2012 or 2013 in November. Right. And it was a terrible game. It was like, cold and rainy. It was like 40s, high 30s. And I think like the only highlight of the entire game was him catching an out route one-handed in the end zone.
Yeah.
So yeah, that will be my – I mean, there's plenty of them, but that's just because I was there in person and it was cool to see. So.
And he hit him with the
– Yeah, the namaste. Right. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that was his thing right there. So going forward into this year as a Texas fan, everybody wants to be us right now. We got the best fan base, I think, in the field because the reason why is we paid our dues so – much, man. When everything went crazy with the Deshaun Watson situation and Mr. McNair passing and people saying that his son didn't care, and then all out the blue, like an angel from the sky, here comes Hannah McNair. And
Queen Hannah.
And she like most people, like my wife does as well with me, kind of gets me straightened out and shows me what I'm supposed to be doing right. You know,
a woman's touch, man.
I was smart enough to listen. Like, I'm smart enough to listen to my wife. And we see a total rebrand with the Texans. The Texans go from being the laughing stock of the NFL to quickly being the team that everyone wants to be like. When you got new uniforms, you got hot shot new quarterback who's on the path to greatness and you know, an excited fan base. Is this the greatest rebuild that we've seen in NFL history right here with our Texans?
I mean, honestly, I don't really know of any others to compare it to, but like just judging this one alone, I don't see how it can be better. I mean, and to your point, you know, like you initially said, is like we deserve this as Houston fans in general. Like we've been through it all. So like with that mindset, that is the reason why I've been pushing content like I have. I'm trying to enjoy every second of it because we know what the other side is like and not to take it for granted. But I mean, it has to be up there rebuild wise. Things were looking dark, you know, and then the speed in which we did it. And I was a huge fan of what we did in the draft, trading up for Will Anderson Jr., basically taking number two and number three overall, CJ and Will, who ended up being the offensive rookie of the year and the defensive rookie of the year. I know a lot of fans at the time were pretty skeptical of that and worried about future picks and all this and that. But to me, it came down to, and it was evident, that between Nick Caserio and D'Amico and whoever it was who wanted who, but they had CJ and Will pegged as guys that were not only great athletes, that two important positions, two of the most important positions, quarterback and defensive end, but also two great guys that they could build a franchise around. And we've seen it too now as fans. I mean, every interview you hear from CJ, obviously it's like you just walk away just getting more and more impressed by the type of person he is. And then even with Will Anderson Jr. too, he's the same way. I mean, so with that being said, I mean, obviously, their play is incredible, but like the type of people they are, and we've heard a lot of talk about establishing a culture, which, you know, at first you may think not a big deal, but now that you've seen D'Amico talk about it and manifest it, like you see it's real. And I would say there's no two players bigger to contribute to the culture than Will Anderson Jr. and CJ. So, yeah, they did it and partly into the draft. And then I can keep running forever, but I think the third piece that really worked was D'Amico Ryans.
Yes.
I didn't ever expect this from him as a head coach. I knew he was a great football mind, but I was initially the guy that was more leaning of an offensive minded head coach with the way the league is. And I had the concerns about having to replace an OC every so many years, but I hand up was 1,000% wrong. I've realized the value in not only just a coach, but a leader. I mean, all the intangibles that you don't really talk about from a head coach, D'Amico has all of them, and he's elite at all of them. And I think the biggest thing, too, about him and the reason why he's good and was allowed us to rebound like we did is because he's young and innovative. When you listen to him talk, he's not afraid to change anything at any point in time. Whereas, you know, you go to some of these older school coaches, I'm running this scheme no matter what. You know, it's like, that doesn't work. That's not how football is now. It's dynamic, not only like season to season, game to game, but play to play. You got to be willing to, you know, change what you're doing at the snap of a finger. And D'Amico has shown that he has no problem doing that. And I think that's a big reason why he's so successful.
They haven't missed a step anywhere. And it's just amazing, as I said, that what the McNairs have done. It started with the Nick Caserio hire. Nick has done everything correctly. He got us out of the situation with Deshaun Watson, got draft picks, and then drafted the right guys. Pick the right leader at the head coach position. As you said, D'Amico Ryan not only is an ex-Texan, so that's beautiful. You know, was one of the best Texans we've seen play defense for us, but also just a great coach schematically that really just understands football. One of the rare defensive guys who also understands how important the offensive side of the ball. Great hire by him with Slowick coming in at the OC, who he poaches from the 49ers organization that he was with. Just a really good job. They just haven't dropped the ball at any stage, and it all comes to building, as you said, being able to build a foundation, and you got some foundational pieces with CJ leading offense, Will on the defensive side, D'Amico leading it all, Nick Caserio at the top, and then Hannah and Cal McNair leading from the front office. All right, let's get to the football side of things. Now, what are your expectations this year for the Texans? I know everyone's going to say Super Bowl. What's your expectations, your honest opinion?
Yeah, so I will say initially, you know, like I've been as in-depth, you know, following the Texans as anybody, and like I found myself hesitant to like say how confident I really was in the team. And I had a conversation with a fellow content creator, and, you know, he was like, you know, I was telling him like, oh, you know, stuff's happened in the past. I'm kind of scared to like fully commit. And he's like, bro, like screw that. Like, if you truly believe that, then say it. And I was like, ever since then, it's kind of changed my perspective. Like, I know we're biased and it's our team, but like, when you look at everything on paper and you like look at the players and the types of guys we have and D'Amico, all that stuff, like we are a legit Super Bowl contender. So for me, I'm not going to say Super Bowl or bust. My minimum expectation for the Texans this year is to at least make that next step and make the AFC Championship game. Obviously, I hope that we win and go to the Super Bowl and win that as well. But to me, that's my minimum expectation. If we don't make it to the AFC Championship game, I'll be disappointed. Is essentially what it comes down to. But I think we're live. We have a real shot to win it all. You hear about it all the time, you know, winning on a rookie quarterback's rookie contract at Super Bowl window. And you've seen what Nick Caserio did this offseason. He took full advantage of that with the acquisitions he made. So I got that window for a couple more years before CJ gets his big payday. And yeah, I think we're a legit Super Bowl contender. I'm not afraid to say it either.
I do as well. And I think that they're set up for continued success because CJ is the type of guy that he's going to get paid. But like Patrick Mahomes, he's going to do something that's going to allow the organization to still be able to make moves so they can stay winning. He's just that type of kid. I don't doubt that at all, that he's going to work with the organization to get locked in and make sure that the Texans are continue to put a really good brand of football on the field. And he's going to break the bank. He'll be the highest paid player in the league, no doubt about that.
Well, the salary cap will still go up, and then there's talks about making a separate cap for quarterbacks. I mean, there's a lot of things at play. Obviously, that's a big future looming problem, but like as of now, we're good.
Nice. Spread, what do you have?
Yeah, I mean, potential matchups in the playoffs. I know you're talking about Super Bowl contender, but you're going to have to get past Kansas City. What do you think that the team would need to do this season? What are you looking for in the regular season to really make you confident about that prediction going into the playoffs?
Yeah, so I've been saying 13-4 is the record that would, and then I think 14 wins is the ceiling, which 14 wins would likely get you the number one seed, which was what the Ravens had last year, which home field, you know, it proved to be a big deal, which a young team like us could definitely, that should be our goal. But honestly, the AFC is stacked. You have the Chiefs, obviously, and I would put the Ravens next, and then potentially the Dolphins and then Bengals. But really, it's the Ravens and the Chiefs for me. And I honestly think that the Texans match up better against the Chiefs than the Ravens. And the way to beat the Chiefs, it's no secret. The Raiders kind of gave us the blueprint in that game last year, late in the season. It's through the front four, the front seven pass rush, basically getting home pressure on Mahomes without having to blitz anybody. And what I like is D'Amico throughout this offseason has said that, like specifically the way to beat these teams, specifically the Chiefs, is through a dominant D-line. And what did we do? We went and added the Danielle Hunter. So we have the Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson Jr. You know, if and when we do play them later in the year, I'm confident that we can make that happen. But yes, yeah, so I'm excited for that. But my big concern, though, is later in the year, that stretch, I believe it's 3 games in 10 days. I've been calling it the gauntlet. And we play basically the three best teams in the AFC in that stretch, Miami, Baltimore, and Kansas City. So obviously in that scenario, your biggest concern is injuries, but those games will all be super impactful as far as seeding for playoffs, home field advantage, which like I alluded to earlier, I think is imperative for us to try and get as high of a seed as possible. We saw in Baltimore, I hate to admit it, I was at that game leading up to it. Everyone said that crowd noise and weather didn't matter, or it was going to happen, be an effect, and I thought it didn't, but I walked away from that game realizing it had a massive effect. So that 10-game stretch there will really give us an indicator of how we'll fare in the playoffs.
And the Texans really play some contenders, man, because as Fred can tell you, I picked last year the Green Bay Packers playing the Texans in the Super Bowl this year, and now it's looking pretty good. We'll see how it goes, but we know that the odds have moved towards my picks, but they got the Packers early at Green Bay. I'm going to try to make that game. I got a good friend in Houston who loves the Packers, and we've already talked about it. Yeah, we got to link up. I'll DM you about that. I've been up there one time.
But that game not being on primetime was a tragedy. I mean, that's out of all the games on the schedule. I mean, obviously the Chiefs and Ravens, but like Jordan Love and CJ Stroud, and it's not on primetime. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, 10 o'clock. I don't know about that one. I don't like that one at all either.
That's also the first game that I see on the schedule that, like, as a potential loss. Like, the first thing I see that we should have a legit chance to go 6-0 until that game, in my opinion.
Yeah, and then we got a hard one with the Jets. The Jets are going to be good. Yeah. I met Aaron Rodgers. I'm a fan of his now. Before that, I wasn't, because I allowed the media to slant my views on him. But then I met him, and what a kind guy. He was so nice to my wife and I. He's a good guy. But, of course, I'm hoping my Texans can get him on the back and beat him. But that's going to be a huge
That's a dark horse Super Bowl team. I can't believe people are sleeping on them. They just act like Aaron Rodgers because he tore his Achilles, just forgets how to play football. Like, the dude's still an elite quarterback, and even then, with how elite that defense is, you only need 60-70% of Aaron Rodgers to be a legit contender. Like, that blows my mind how they're getting stuck on.
But man, after that Green Bay game, it gets tough, man. You got Jets on it's gonna be in prime time. Then we got the Lions coming in time. They're a Super Bowl contender on prime time on the following week. Then we go to the Cowboys, That's gonna be a huge game in the state of Texas, and then they get a break and get the Titans in town and go see the Jags. We haven't lost in Jacksonville in forever, so I think we'll be able to get that one done. But then, as you said, December starts, and you got Miami coming to town right following that for first place, probably in the AFC. We'll be going to Kansas City on 21st, and then only 4 days later on Christmas, we get Lamar. So, crazy. Oh, man, that's going to be tough, man. But I do think the one advantage we have, Chiefs, I think it'll be between the Chiefs and the Texans for the number one seed. I do think the Ravens have a tougher division and end up losing some games. Do you think the Texans can get the number one seed?
I do. So last year it was the Ravens at 14, and I believe the NFC may have been 13. So 13 to 14 wins, but obviously 14 would probably steal it. But I do think so. And then, as I pointed to earlier, the beginning of the schedule, and we both acknowledge, is relatively easy. So I think it's super imperative to get off to a hot start. I think in those first six games, I would say max loss is one, maybe two, if you want to get that number one seed. And also, you know, given the fact that we have so many games in that short stretch, the 3 games in 10 days, you want to maximize as much as you can early on to allow yourself a little wiggle room there. But yeah, I definitely believe we can. I think we should get off to a hot start, and that we will. A lot of those games you mentioned, you know, to me are like almost coin flips: the Green Bay game, the Lions game, the Jets game. I think we should be able to beat the Cowboys. But, and then, you know, those remaining three, Dolphins, Chiefs, Ravens, are probably coin flip games too. So, but I'm confident though. I'm super confident.
Spread, what do you got from a betting point of view for Garrett? Because this is a sports betting show. So I know
I'm a better too. So.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. But we'll definitely talk about this if we get to the Supreme clientele.
Yeah,
I am surprised to see this number. I'm talking about the AFC South Division winner, Houston Texans, at plus 100 to me. I'm surprised that they're not laying juice here the Kansas City Chiefs are at minus 300 to win the AFC West. And my thinking on that is I'm not a believer in the Indianapolis Colts. I don't think Anthony Richardson is going to stay healthy, and I don't think Joe Flacco and that defense have the firepower to overtake the Texans. I don't think the Titans are going to be good. I think that I don't know why they ran off their coach. They have a worse coach now. I'm sure they'll be better in fantasy because I think they're going to be more offensive oriented. However, I don't see them as a real threat. So now it's a two-horse race between the Texans and the Jaguars. And I know health is tough to assume, but assuming they stay healthy, the Texans have the better defense. They have the better quarterback as of now. I know that we're waiting for Trevor to make this breakout year, and I wouldn't be surprised to see it. I actually did bet Trevor to go over on his passing yards, but I'm still not sold on that Jacksonville defense. compared to the Texans defense. And I just don't think they have the firepower on offense. Even if Trevor does step his game up, CJ has so much more to work with. I'm surprised to see this number at only plus 100. I thought it would be closer to minus 140, minus 150. All right. Do you think that I'm, you know, you watch the AFC South more than me. Do you think that I'm maybe underlooking some of the competition in the division?
Everything you said, I agree with. I literally looked at the odds last week when they did that for the division winners. Obviously, the Chiefs were up there. And I think we were like the third or fourth most favored, but I thought we should definitely have been in the minus 140 to minus 170 range. But I totally agree on the division. AR, health concerns, and then even then, I had already thought this before the preseason game, but like he's not a true pocket passer. He may be a quarterback that Shane Steichen, who is a great coach, may be able to scheme him up early to get things, you know, to work for him. But when people talk about a sophomore slump for a quarterback, it's a quarterback like that that's not a true pocket passer that can read a defense. It's a guy that's kind of gimmicky through coaching, essentially. So they're a great team and can run the ball, but it's, you know, I think the quarterback position obviously is a struggle for them. Titans, I agree. I mean, they're going to be one of the worst teams in the league. Four wins, max, 4 to 5 wins. Callahan, you know, I think Will Levis is overrated. He had that first game where he threw for, what, 4 touchdowns or whatever it was, and I feel like everyone just remembers that and then didn't watch the rest of the games where he, too. To me, a lot of these quarterback issues, I guess you could put Trevor Lawrence, Will Levis, and Anthony Richardson all in the same bucket, in my opinion. And it's a huge dilemma for almost all NFL quarterbacks, the athletic quarterbacks that are dual threats that can make plays with their arms and their legs. But a lot of the guys who can make plays with their legs have done that their whole lives, and then they get to the NFL, and it's hard for them to all of a sudden now focus on staying in the pocket. Trevor Lawrence, I feel like, is forgotten about like that. Like, I feel like he flushes the pocket way too early and too often and tries to play hero ball and almost always ends up in a disaster for him. Will Levis is the same way. Anthony Richardson, obviously. I think, and I was going to say earlier in the schedule, I really think that the Texans can and should sweep the division. I believe it happens like once every 4 years. I think this is something we should aspire to do. So,
all right. So if we were only to place one bet, though, we have the division at plus 100. Looking at the win total, though, it's only 9.5. Is that safer? I mean, is that safe right now? It's minus 123, but still, that seems way too low.
I don't think you can, but if you could parlay the two.
Yeah. I mean, that's, no, they won't let you.
Yeah, so they're both locks to me. I don't know which one I would pick. I guess just the wins, just to be safe in case something happens. But yeah, the 9.5 wins, I get like the hard schedule talk, but people often forget, like, just because before the season, your strength of schedule is whatever it is. And then even then, like when you see these rankings of strength of schedules, you know, we're ranked like top 5 or whatever, but like, you know, 15 is like the win percentage points is like 10 to 20 points off. So it's like, it's marginal. And then also too, like rarely ever does your strength of schedule before the season end up being the same after the season. Things happen, players get hurt, coaches get fired. So I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about our team. So I would definitely take 9.5 wins over the division, but they're both locked to me.
Nice. Yeah, because, yeah, it could take 12 wins to win that division. So why would I not just bet 9.5? I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Jacksonville is better. It is the third year for Trevor with Peterson. I do think that Brian Thomas Jr., for whatever reason, I think the role that they're playing, I think that's going to be an upgrade over Calvin Ridley. And Gabe Davis is going to stretch the field. You can see how this team could potentially be better on offense. I just don't know if they're going to be good enough to overtake the Texans. But I think the 9.5 is safer, and that's the way that I'm approaching this.
I agree. Yep.
And I have a ticket at plus 700 for the Texans to win the AFC. So I think that that'll be determined at the end of December on that one. Because, as you said, if we get home field advantage, I think that it's going to be a really good situation where the Texans are going to have a lot of success in the playoffs because, as you know, they really play good at NRG. It's one of the best home field advantages in the game. Yeah,
were really. You at that Browns game?
No, I was out here, man. I couldn't leave. Yeah. I was at this book betting. So I had to take care of it was multiple games, but I know that it was fired up. I could feel the energy coming through my TV, you know.
So I've been going to games pretty much. I've been to like 89% of the home games since inception, and that was one of the loudest, if not the loudest. I mean, the only other comparable moment was that J.J. Watt pick 6 against Cincinnati, but and it was cool too because it wasn't like just loud towards the end. Like that game was over basically at halftime. So like it was a legit party like the whole time. But like that like kind of made me realize like if we get home field and then home field next year, like during the season, like that's gonna be a huge factor.
Yes,
yeah, we know how Houston, like we're starving for this stuff, you know. Like, we've been woke up a sleeping giant. We've been waiting for years and now we're all ready.
Yeah, it's a football market that hasn't had a lot of success in football, man. And I think that everybody's ready, and it's a godsend getting C.J. Stroud as our quarterback, D'Amico Ryans as the head coach, and Caserio as our GM. All right, man, it was really good talking to you. Really like talking football with you, man. I could tell it's past just, you know, the Texas. You really know the game. Tell everybody where you're at, where they can find you. We know that you can find your ex on Houston Stressing, but what else do you do with sports?
Yeah, so I'm a contributing writer for the Sporting News on the Texans. Right now it's in limbo, so I'm not sure if I'll continue to do that. But on X and TikTok and YouTube, my handle or name is at Texans Commenter, and my nickname is Houston Stressins. But then on Instagram, the handle is Houston Stressins. I do plan on building out a website right now. I have it ready for the season. I have this T-shirt here already. It's the H-Town 713 shirt. So if you wanted, the link's in my bio. But yeah, I mean, I'm just a fan born and raised in Houston, and you know, I'm one of y'all. And I will say, like, you know, just on the betting stuff, the CJ Stroud MVP odds are still, you know, super attractive to me. I think it's plus 700. And I would even take, you know, I would sprinkle a little bit on the Super Bowl as well. I think it might be plus 1100. But yeah, I would love to come back. I'm a huge football fan in general. I played college football for 5-6 years, and you know, so I know a lot about the game and watch any and every team, and I could chop it up anytime.
Man, we really appreciate you. You're always welcome in the Wake world. Guys, make sure you give him a follow. Texans Commentator. Is that right? Is that how
Commenter,
you say it?
Commenter.
Oh, there we go. Yep. Texans Commenter. And then you can also just Google Houston Stressing, and you're going to see him everywhere, man, because he's all up and down the timeline, one of the most popular pages we have. We appreciate you, and we'll talk to you very soon.
We bless him.
Thank you, brother.
All right, we all good?
Yep. We're good, man. We really enjoyed that, man. I'll be in touch. I'll probably get you to come back on here maybe like a week or two.
Yeah, I'm down whenever. I mean, I'm a better too, so I'm aware of all the lines and everything too. I can give you my opinion on that, like through a Texans lens or in general. But
what did you play football at in college?
So I played my undergrad. I played redshirted and played 3 years, 4 years at Stephen F. Austin University, and then I graduated, got my master's. And I played at Incarnate Word in San Antonio.
Oh, did you? We just were talking about Incarnate Word. I was on Ward before everybody. Me and John Granada and Lance Erline, I put them on him when he was still at. Because remember when they had the spring football during 2020? That's when I was at
his first ever game, bro, in Lamar and Beaumont. Yeah. I watched that game. I said, this kid is an NFL quarterback.
Yeah, he's definitely an NFL quarterback. He's definitely an NFL quarterback, and he
might win the Heisman, bro.
Yeah. If Cristobal doesn't get in his way, that's
well. The thing is, my offensive coordinator at Stephen F. Austin, Shannon Dawson, who's under this Mike Leach tree. He was most recently at U of H, now his OC at Miami, which was the same system he was running at Incarnate Word through Eric Morris, who followed him to Washington State. But he's gonna light it up, bro. And now he's got some weapons. I think
we're about to talk some football. I'll text you my number through the DM right now, and then you can text me that way. We have each other's number, bro.
And Eric Morris has said he coached Patrick Mahomes at Tech. Like, he's compared him to Mahomes. Like, people don't know this stuff. Like Cam Ward, to me, might be the best quarterback in the draft. I know Shadur is nice, but, like, Cam.
Yeah, dude, he is the best one because Shadur is not fleet of foot. What Shadur is going to be, he's going to be like a Tom Brady. If he has line play and he learns how to check it to the right type of plays where he's getting the protection he needs, he's going to slice teams up. Because his accuracy is unbelievable. You know, he's got – that kid can throw the ball. Like, he can put the ball anywhere he wants to. But I feel the same way. I like Cam as far as in total package, though.
His escapability, like the stuff he kind of does, is kind of like Mahomes-esque. But he got found because he was at West Columbia in Houston. He ran a triple option offense in high school, and the current word coach saw him at a camp, and like he's like, this kid's the fucking real deal. So he basically like found him and like kept it under wraps and like offered the last second so no one would take him. And then this is the side of like the NIL and transfer portal, like the good side where you see a kid can go from being overlooked going from Incarnate Word to Miami about to be right. Heisman. Like, you don't see that in the old college football days.
No. So now it makes sense to me that he ended up going to Pullman because Mike Leach's connections.
Well, he went because – so I was at the UIW-Sam Houston game in the playoffs, and they were the number one team in the nation. And he was down the end zone to win it in the last plays, and we didn't win. And it just it's right after the game ended, the coach took the head coach, Eric Morris, got the OC at Washington State, got like 500 or got like a million or a couple million bucks, or whatever it was. And then, of course, in the portal, you're like, all right, I'm going to bring my quarterback.
Right.
And he took, okay. you know, two or three receivers. That's the other part of it, too, is these coaches leave and they take all the players with them.
They take the players. Yeah, that was a big move for him that that guy's career went where it went and also that he took them along with him. Well, we'll talk to you for sure, man. I'm about to send you a text right now, Garrett, and that way we're going to wrap up the show, but I'm going to send you a text right now, and you'll have my number. I'll send it through the DM.
For sure, brother.
Nice okay, thanks, brother. I'll talk to you soon. All right.
All right, take it easy.
All right, brother.
All right. Did you, we need to do that one intro real quick?
Yeah, send it to the other box and then we do an exit.
All right. Am I talking or are you doing it?
No, you could just say thank you, you know, for coming on. Blah, blah, and then after.
All right. I want to thank Texans commenter Houston Stressin for coming on, giving us some great inside information on what to expect for the Houston Texans season.
Yeah, we're going to definitely have him back. He has a lot of good information. He was a college football player, and he knows a lot of things outside of Texas, too. Really sharp guy on football, man. Hey, first weekend, week one, week zero doesn't count. That's why his name is Zero. So this is week one of college football. Huge slate. Guys, we gave out so many winners. Let's go cash these tickets for the weekend, for Spreaders there, for myself, for Casino Royale. As always, I do this for my dad, the greatest Houston sports fan that I know, John H. Lindsay. Hey, guys, we'll see you on Monday. This is The Waging World.